Welcome to Night of the Living Geeks. If you geek out over it, we've got a podcast for it.
Welcome to another episode of Drunk Ass Gaming. I'm your host, Joel.
I'm Joe.
How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. Terrible traffic.
Terrible. So Joe lives about a half an hour away from me.
It took me two hours to get here.
Half an hour's worth of distance, just straight driving, took 2 hours for Joe today. So thank you so much. Cheers to you being here, sir. Today we are drinking the remnants of the Gentleman Jack. So it is currently mixed with Coca-Cola for me and Monster Energy for Joe.
I call mine a Monster Jack.
Monster Jack. Love it. You, sir, are working towards an early grave, mixing all that taurine with your whiskey.
Well, you know. that's the only response.
We're here for a good time, not a long time, I'll tell you that much.
Now, do we have rules?
We sure do. There's some rules to follow, okay? So, being that this is DrunkCast, we have topics here. If you go off topic for whatever reason, you gotta take a drink. Typically a swig of whatever you're drinking in front of you, or a shot of whatever's in question.
I think it's really hard to take a swig of what's behind you.
Well, duh. You know.
You need a very long straw.
I tried it once.
With the butt?
Yeah. butt chugging. I think we have about the equivalent of
Google
one.
It.
Yeah, really. Don't Google it. Don't do it. Kids, don't butt chug at home, okay? DrunkCast made me do it. No, I don't want to hear none of that.
No.
Okay? Viewer discretion is advised. I think if we need to, we have a shot of Gentleman Jack in there.
Like a single shot.
I think so. That might be a punishment shot for something we discuss over the podcast hour here.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that... I know I'm scared. Did I do something wrong?
Maybe.
Do I need to take shots?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'm sure there's bound to be a bet that pops up somewhere.
Okay.
So recent gaming news. I figured. Resident Evil 7's coming to the Switch.
Yeah. Well, it's already out in Japan.
Doesn't Japan have already that we don't?
Yeah, fuck Japan.
Don't they have
The worst thing that Japan gets is physical second copies in games. Because, like Bayonetta. Bayonetta 2, you can buy physically in North America, but Bayonetta 1 always comes as a download code. In Japan, the special edition came with both physical copies.
Interesting.
Even though the special edition in America came with a download code.
Do they give you two boxes as well?
No, but they give you a cool steelbook with two slots in it.
A special steelbook
with two cartridge slots. And then Mega Man Collections 1 and 2 in North America, they give you a download code for the second one. In Japan, they give you two cartridges, I believe, is what I said. But regardless, the actual on-topic thing is... So Resident Evil, yeah, it's coming to the Switch, or it came to the Switch. In an odd way, it is being streamed. So it's running on an off-site computer, and I guess you use your Switch kind of like a controller for it, and it's streaming the video portion, but the actual like nuts and bolts are happening with some other processor somewhere.
So you're telling me an advanced system like the Switch cannot... So it's making a computer, it's making a video game, play a video game for you, and they're focusing all their technology on cardboard boxes?
Yes.
What the fuck?
No, but to be fair, Resident Evil 7, Resident Evil is too powerful for the Switch, I think.
Fair enough.
It'd be hard to run it. And the thing is, horror games in particular, so much of it has to do... Like, could you imagine if, with blocky visuals, someone jumps out at you and they're like blurry textures and they're like... You know, made cubes. You'd be like, "Oh, this stupid guy isn't. This isn't scary at all."
I mean, yeah, I've played Dead by Daylight. That's a snooty gamer joke. Anyway, go on.
But the two things that makes me think about though is one, is this the new solution for the Switch? Because the Switch has the problem of there being all these games, so people are developing for the PS4 and developing for the Xbox One, and especially for the PS4 Pro and Xbox One X, where they're doing these new cutting-edge graphics.
Right.
But are they going to make this be the route they use to port over games? Because if they did this with The Witcher 3, yeah, holy shit, I might have to do it.
You yeah, know, the get, Witcher 3, get The Witcher on Switch.
Yeah.
The right. Switcher.
The Switcher. Oh, that'd be amazing.
Woo.
Oh. But that'd be a really good game for the console, and that might be a way to accomplish it without having to dumb down the graphics or have lower frame rates or stuff like that.
Fair enough. Sacrificing the experience for the ability to play it.
Yeah. No,
I feel it.
And the other thing is, this could be a larger proof of concept for other consoles. Though PlayStation tried it, they had a really hard time with the PS Now.
Oh yeah, I remember the PS Now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it did not succeed. I had major issues.
PS Now now is the PS Plus, right? It's like that monthly prescription or...
Prescription?
Subscription?
You turn it in for some prescription drugs.
I have a Nintendo disease. The only prescription is more PS4.
It was in addition to PS Plus. Because the idea is PS Plus has existed.
Oh, that's right. It's like a download your favorite games kind of where you can...
Yeah, but you streamed them. They didn't go on your console.
I remember I tried to play the Telltale's version of Back to the Future on PS Now. I had tried out the free subscription month, whatever, just terribly choppy. It just did not come through okay. But if they were to perfect that technology, I could see how crucial it would be, and think of how elaborate video games could be.
Yeah.
If you stream it from a smaller box into a bigger box that technically has a higher capability of displaying, you know, different textures and features.
I will say it does worry me though about, because I there is something about owning a game. Do you know what I mean? Like there is something about that
going having out, the physical copy.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And what I don't want is for day one server issues, because you know we all do that where we play a game and we want to play an online game, but the day one everyone's playing it at the exact same moment, so the servers shit out and you can't play and it sucks and it's awful. I don't want that to be the case with games. Like, how awful would that be? You know, like, what's a series that you love?
Fallout.
Yeah, Fallout 5 comes out. It's streamed. You're excited. You've paid the money to play it. Day one comes, and for the first 2 days, servers go up and down, and you keep being kicked out of the game. Okay. You would flip a shit. It would be awful.
Yeah, man. Very true.
You'd be so ornery, I wouldn't talk to you.
fucking Joe, fuck you. Your dumb fucking podcast, you piece of shit. Anyway, no, yeah, absolutely, I understand. Yeah. And it's kind of the same. Actually, no, it's not. Books never have this issue. It's not like everybody's fucking...
What?
I'm sorry, I was thinking about books because they're going into a more digital era for books.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's more Audacity listeners than there are Barnes & Noble memberships, you know what I mean? So... You know, books are slowly becoming more digital, but you never see, like, James Patterson releases a book and, like, 40 billion people try to download it at the same time and it all fucks up. They don't have that problem. But, I mean, I could see... Things are getting more perfected now, though. I gotta be honest. Like,
day one server issues are still there.
They're there, but it depends. Like, it's becoming more niche from when they're there. Like, it has to be a really big game.
I don't know. That's still a big issue with a lot of the ones that I
like. But it wasn't as bad as before. Like Fallout New Vegas. I used to get stuck in multiple rocks, probably because I refused to take the road before me, and I decided to climb a mountain that I'm not supposed to climb.
Yeah, that was bugs, not servers.
Fair enough.
Fallout New Vegas just was. It was the buggiest game. I love it. Oh, I love New Vegas.
It's the only game where you could literally glitch through the world and not mind at all. You're just like, oh yeah, that's just what happens.
Maybe Skyrim. I can see Skyrim had some fun glitches.
Skyrim, one time, I was riding on Shadowmere, right? in Skyrim. And as I'm riding this, like, giant, I didn't even see this giant just right next to me. And I'm slowly, I'm on Shadowmere trying to bow and arrow down a dragon. And the giant just comes over and swat! Next thing I know, I'm maybe like 80 feet in the air on Shadowmere still. But I guess the graphics had messed up so bad that it had just launched me really tall into the air. And I was just falling on Shadowmere down to the ground. And when we got to the ground, Shadowmere just went, and like kind of like fell over. And I just got off the corpse of my horse. And I was just like, well, okay. I mean, here I am fighting a dragon and a giant.
God. Oh, Skyrim. Oh, Bethesda. Bethesda never change.
They're wonderful. Rage 2 is what they're coming out with next.
Well, that's id. Id's doing that.
Oh, id.
But I mean, it's part of Bethesda, but it's not Bethesda developed. It's not Fallout.
See, that's why I'm hoping. That's why I'm hoping that there's still something in their back pocket that they're going to bring out.
By the way, Rage 2 is happening?
Yeah.
Like, what a bizarre happening.
Yeah. It's like, hey, what are you guys going to announce? Is it like Elder Scrolls, I don't know, anything? Or anything else otherwise? No.
It's Rage.
Rage 2, as a matter of fact. You remember Rage? It's like, yeah. Do we need this? Do we need it?
I need it. I never
did
played
you,
Rage 1.
Me neither. Nobody did.
No one did.
But they decided to come out with a sequel. Who cares?
I heard that it was plagued with so many problems at launch that Carmack had to come out and, or one of the leads in id, had to come out and apologize.
Publicly apologize. That's why they called it Rage, is what I heard.
It was rage-inducing.
It had a different name, and they knew what they were releasing, and they were like, let's just call it Rage for what it is. Yeah. okay, I'm sorry, we lost sight. So, Resident Evil 7 for the Switch, it's being streamed from a completely different computer that you're just going to input your... I wonder how responsive that's going
to
be.
See, there's so many questions to it, and I've actually heard... that people are saying, because the problem is, it's hard to get a good bead on how good it's going to be, even though it's already released, because it's only released in Japan on Japanese servers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to tell. There aren't a lot of American reviews. There's a couple anecdotal, you know, accounts of playing it. A couple people said it actually works pretty well.
Interesting.
With some minor input lag issues and stuff like that, but...
little things here and there.
Yeah, which, if that's the case, then that's great. But I've only seen, like, one or two English accounts, and I don't read Japanese, so I don't know shit.
I just don't know what it's about. And I don't know what kind of gameplay it is.
Well, there's a house, and one of the residents is evil. And he goes about his day-to-day life. And, you know.
Yeah, but what's the underlying story?
He goes to work, meets women. Normal things.
Ah.
Meets a girl. They fall in love.
It's so exhilarating.
It's just some guy. It's some normal fucking guy named Evil. It's just about his day-to-day life and the place that he lives.
Hi, I'm Evil.
I'm a resident of the building.
He's a resident. Or it's about a hospital.
Oh, God.
And he's a fucking doctor. He's just a resident. But his name is Dr. Evil.
Are there any doctors on staff? No full-timers, but there is a resident. Resident Evil. And then he, like, pulls his shades off. You rang.
I'm the seventh in line from the doctor name for this building. Oh my God, we can do this. Can you imagine? Just like Resident Evil, we just twist the name for it to be like a homie sitcom about some guy living in an apartment. And he's like best friends with his landlord. This could work. Man. Come on, knock on my door. We'll be waiting for you.
It's a guy like smile. A guy's talking to someone else, and then he turns to the camera and smiles. And it's like
starring
starring someone as Evil.
Starring Joe as Dr. Evil.
Dr. Evil.
Oh my god, hilarious. I love it. So anyway, I recently looked up this this list of like the top games, right? That have come out between 2017 and 2018, right?
Yeah.
There was a few that piqued my interest that I had never played. And then there was a couple that I have played, and I wondered if you had played at all. So the first one that kind of piqued my interest, Golf Story.
Is it really?
No, it's not.
Oh, god damn it. I was hoping. Golf Story is a damn good game. I own Golf Story. I have it on my Switch.
I imagine you do. For the amount of time that you talk about Golf Story, I would hope to God you own it.
I haven't beaten it.
What?
I haven't beaten it.
Okay. So what? Okay. Actually, here's an actual question about Golf Story.
Okay.
What is it about?
It is a golf RPG. So instead of like fighting battles to get experience, you do golfing challenges. And they're normally pretty silly, and they're pretty silly courses. Like, there are ones where there are areas that if you hit the ball into them, a turtle pops up and your ball bounces off the turtle.
Just like real life.
And there's one where, like, there are little zones that if you hit the ball into it, a gopher steals your ball. And it just kind of fucks you over.
Fair enough. Just like in Caddyshack.
Yeah, and you have to buy better clubs and buy, you know, upgrades and stuff.
Okay.
And you have and there are different, like, sub-challenges, so you might go over and there will be, like, hooligan kids on the golf course playing disc golf.
Damn those kids! Hey, disc golf is a great sport.
Yeah, but you can play them in disc golf as a side thing. There are mini golf.
What? Challenges. You can play them in disc golf?
Yeah.
Oh, this game is winning me over already.
Right. See, it's good.
It's speaking to the hippie in me.
Yes. It's good. No, it's a weird RPG. What else can you say? It's a really weird RPG.
Fair enough. Okay. Anything you've been playing recently that you want to talk about?
League of Legends, mainly.
Lame.
Me and a friend of mine have started a playthrough of Final Fantasy VI or Final Fantasy III, which is it's one of my favorite games of all time.
We were talking about that last episode.
Well, we only just started doing the playthrough. I might have talked about the game, but Final Fantasy III is... we only just started playing through it this week.
Nice. What's your favorite Final Fantasy? I never asked that.
Three.
Oh.
So, you have to understand the amount of nostalgia you're fighting through.
That's true.
There are two games that got me into gaming, period. Hmm. Like, they're my first two games, and they were so good that it made me seek out those sort of experiences.
Right.
And the first two games I ever played, I had a Super Nintendo. And I borrowed... So, I got a Super Nintendo from my cousin's stepdad worked at a pawn shop. And he was able to get a bunch of stuff for us, kind of. And I got a Super Nintendo, and I got Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past,
mm-hmm.
and I got Final Fantasy III.
Okay.
And or six. It's six in Japan and three in America.
Right.
And those two games are so defining to me. Final Fantasy VI, I've put so many hundreds of hours in. It's just. I love the characters. I love the story. I love just so many little details about it. All the hidden aspects of it. Like there's, Final Fantasy VII. Have you played Final Fantasy VII?
Of course, yeah.
You know there are hidden things in Final Fantasy VII. It doesn't compare. Besides the chocobo raising.
And Knights of the Round and shit like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Well, Knights of the Round, that's the only one that like to me compares. In terms of how crazy it is to get.
Yeah, because you have to find that in literally, just to remind people for Knights of the Round, the way that you get to that summon, it's a summon, by the way, that brings down, like, all the Knights of the Round table, and they just, like, one by one from King Arthur all the way down to, like, what was King Arthur's, like, lead? Prince Galahad? No.
Oh, God, there's so many. I don't remember. I don't remember.
Anyway. So all of the Knights of the Round Table end up striking your enemy, and they're all like 999 hits, and 9999 hits.
Yeah, I was gonna say
it's pretty crazy.
1,000 damage.
Yeah. Oh. Right. Oh wait, no, that does nothing. Anyway, so the way to get it literally is you have to win enough chocobo races in a special way in order to get a chocobo that can literally walk on all terrain, climb a mountain to get to a cave where there's just a little materia.
It can also fly. That's the big thing. The black chocobo can fly and land. Because the problem is that Knights of the Round is in an island surrounded by mountains, so you can't use your boat to get there. And all of the land is forest, which you can't land your airship on.
No.
But black chocobos can take off and land in forests.
Right.
It's the only way to get to that.
Only game. Way. Those things are crazy. So that was the way that I got the Knights of the Round, and it took me years to figure that out. I didn't use any guide. Like later on, after I figured it out, I used a guide to get back there because I completely forgot.
But I
had known that as a kid, with nothing to do after school, just fucking memorized it, figured it out. Spent all that time in the golden, what was it called? The golden mushroom?
No, the golden, circle? Something like that.
I forget.
It's saucer, golden saucer.
Golden saucer, thank you. Fuck Midgar. Anyway, as you were saying about Final Fantasy VI or III.
Six has so many good secrets in it. There are characters who generally will die that you can save. There's hidden characters that you need to unlock new hidden characters. There are characters that kind of come and leave your party and come back, and you have to lure them back into it. There's just so many little details, little items that you can get, things that you can steal from bosses. It's just, and the story is just so good.
So,
modern Final Fantasies have a very, like, I'm trying to think of it, I describe it as, like, magic punk.
Where it's very, like, you know, you get lightning, and she's the cool protagonist.
But it seems very technological, but it's like, oh, instead of it running off electricity, it runs off, like, fire magic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not steampunk, but I call it, like, magic punk.
Right. Probably. It's very, like, chrome.
Yeah, like,
futuristics.
You know,
steam, yeah, I know steam. Yeah,
but it all runs on magic. That's right, the basis. It's always magic and craziness.
Right.
But
what a resource, magic.
Right. But Final Fantasy VI was the game that started that aesthetic and that idea.
Right.
Because before then, it had just been high fantasy. Right. Like magic existed because you're fighting dragons.
Right.
With swords and, you know, those sort of things. And there had been towns in previous games that were very, like, that might have, like, one town that's like, oh, we use fire to do this. But most of the cities were, like, very, like, oh, no, we're, you know, it's magic. And we're an old medieval, ye old medieval fantasy town.
Right, right.
But Six just, it did so much for that series. And it's such a beloved game for me. I'm really excited to go through it again.
Fair enough.
Though, do you have this thing where, like, you end up naming your characters, and when someone else, you see someone else's playthrough and they have their characters named differently, and just everything feels wrong?
Yes.
You're like, his name is Steve.
Yeah.
Rename him Steve.
He's like, that's not the game I was playing. We didn't play the same game. I always named my characters after people that I knew. And, like, my love interest was always my secret crush.
Oh, my God.
And then people would be like, oh, who's that? I'm like, no one.
Anyway. Oh, guys!
Yeah.
Have you gone back and looked at it and been like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You better believe it. There's some save cards out there that I plugged in the other day, and I'm like, movie. Yeah, I remember this era.
Yeah, oh, I was really into that girl.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, pretty bad. So, you know what games got me into gaming?
What? Halo.
Interestingly enough, Crash Bandicoot. And
which one? 1, 2, or 3?
The first one. And then, you know, I went all the way through the Rise of Cortex and whatnot, and even got to CTR, Crash Team Racing. But in the very beginning, the first game that I played that got me hooked was Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Oh, it's a good game.
Very good, not the best Legend of Zelda, though, in my opinion.
I think Breath of the Wild is the best.
Breath of the Wild's pretty amazing. I haven't played it all the way through, so I can't really give a good justification, but I think Wind Waker will always be
Wind Waker's great. I do like Majora's Mask.
Majora's Mask is nice, which actually puts me into another thing I wanted to talk about today. Thank you very much. But Wind Waker is, Majora's Mask is very nice. I just think it's the time aspect of it drags too much.
But there's, I think that it only focusing on that little bit of time, those 3 days, is it 3 days or 2 days?
Three days.
Yeah, 3 days. Those 3 days over and over again allows it to do little things that make the world feel so much more alive. It's not like a person standing in the same place forever. The people move around and the town feels very much alive. And it feels like you're experiencing like actual little bit of time in that world. As opposed to so many games where there's always this moment that kind of takes me out of games where someone's like, you must defeat the boss. He's going to destroy the princess soon. Go! And then you like spend 15 hours fishing, and you're like,
look, I got a giant sword and bigger wallet.
I caught the Hylian bass! And, like, the guys were probably like, oh, thanks, don't you need to fucking save us right now? I mean, it's great that you got the Hylian bass.
I know, isn't the world, like, literally in danger and the moon just crashing right now?
Yeah, and you're like, but I'm saying Majora's Mask actually feels a lot of the time like, like things are moving forward. It's not just like, oh, you moved on to the next quest. Time is completely frozen. Do whatever you want until you do the next quest thing, and then time lurches forwards a little bit, and then it freezes again. A lot of games have that problem where like you complete a quest, and nothing moves forward unless you complete.
Right, the next, it's always going to be quest. 3 p.m. until you do something that progresses the clock.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
And Majora's Mask never had that. Like you could do side things. But there was the knowledge that you're actually losing time. Like, shit's fucking up, and, like, the moon's coming closer, and, you know, like, you can't fuck around too much, or you're just going to reset. Like, all your accomplishments have to be done with that like, time frame in mind.
Right.
And you get so good at getting through, like, the early parts of the game. And so, there's so much I like about the game. I will agree, I think Wind Waker is great. I do.
But, and you see, in an alternate way, that's why I like Wind Waker more, is because Wind Waker takes away an even bigger problem, in my opinion, which is what takes me out of the game.
Land.
Like, lots of it, dude. Like, in between your objectives. Like, literally, walking that entire distance is so tiring for, like even in Breath of the Wild, I didn't play it too much, but it just seemed like a chore to get anywhere that I needed to go. Especially if it's on the other side of the world. At least Wind Waker, you had the free roam. But on the way to different objectives, there was all these different things that could happen to you. Treasure hunts.
But see, that's...
You know, wind gods. All these different things.
That's what... But Breath of the Wild has little things if you look for them. It's, I mean, there are little things everywhere.
Like, yeah, if you look for them. The wind gods will fuck you up. You gotta be alert, like, for that. That's what I'm saying.
I like it when the wind gods fuck me.
That's so. Fair enough. Welcome to Kink Cast. anywho, but yeah, so I definitely think Wind Waker.
I still think Breath of the Wild. To me, Breath of the Wild is more what the series needed at the moment it needed it, and was just it's just still so good. But I will say that the weird thing is, if I were to go back and play one, I'd play Wind Waker. Because I think that Breath of the Wild is a game you can't replay.
Right.
So much of that game is the initial experience, that diving into this world without knowing what's going on and discovering that every little rock has something under it and every little crevice has something, you know, in it. And just figuring out all the little details of that world. I don't think you could replay it and get the same experience. I don't think it would be as fun.
Right.
So... I think if I were to replay it, I'd replay Wind Waker, because I think that the puzzling aspect, the puzzles are better, and a lot of, maybe even some of the combat and, like, the bosses and stuff are better in Wind Waker. Like, the experience is better, but the like, world isn't as deep. It's just kind of a Zelda world.
Fair enough.
You know, it's basically, like, to me, Wind Waker plays, like, a bunch of levels.
Okay.
Like, you have this big map, and each island plays, like, its own little self-contained levels, which there's nothing bad about, but it's not, like, a, to me, like, one giant world.
It's right.
Like, they're like, and that is a cool way of doing it. Like, that makes it so you can have these little self-contained levels really well.
Right.
What would you do if they remade Wind Waker with, like, a Breath of the Wild style? So you're sailing around this world, but it's Breath of the Wild style.
It's
so
literally wide open. Yeah. Same kind of grip and shit like that system.
Yeah.
I'd have to get it. I would definitely have to get it. I mean, it would be interesting, but there's just so many aspects that I think would be, like, for Wind Waker and Breath of the Wild to be completely emerged, there's so many different little games and aspects that you would do. Like, can you imagine having to control your grip on, like, a mast and a sail just so you're able to go in a certain direction? And you have to make sure that you have enough grip to hold the sail, but also enough grip to move, like, your actual boat.
Oh, you, like, trying to turn it uses stamina?
Yeah.
And if you do it too much, then you tire yourself out?
Yeah, exactly. And you get thrown overboard or something like that. Oh, man. That'd be interesting.
I'm interested.
I'd like that.
Yeah.
I would enjoy it. Great. Anything else on the horizons?
I actually do have a big question for you. So,
let's hear it.
They recently announced Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
Cob Ops 4.
And they had a big kind of press event, and
they're going to get buried.
But my... Well, they're going to sell a million. You know they're going to sell a million.
They're still going to sell
it's gonna sell. It's going to sell... do you think it's going to sell 15 million copies?
I think so.
I still do too.
But it's still going to be the bottom third, I think, of the three games that are coming out around the same time. But I think I know what you're alluding to. Go ahead.
Well, my bigger problem is that... So one of the things that annoys me is them getting rid of single player.
Yeah, there's no story mode.
I've played through every Call of Duty single player I've owned.
Right.
I enjoy it. I do like it. It makes the games feel more worth it to me.
Right.
That you get this little nugget of story, and it's normally a decent amount of time. It's not just like a, you know, it's like a long weekend of gameplay.
Right.
But, you know, it makes it so that all of that multiplayer... And the worst is that the reason, apparently, why they've stated that they've gotten rid of it is for, like, Battle Royale stuff, I believe.
So they're going to make it... They're going to put, like, a game mode that's a lot like Fortnite?
I believe. I think that that's what they wanted to focus their attention on.
That would be really interesting. Call of Duty in a Fortnite standpoint. You know, you drop, but you already have your, like, weapon loadout. And...
You know, I don't actually believe personally that you can succeed trying to chase the whatever the hot thing is in the moment. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be... You can't surf if you're already behind the wave. You know? Like, you have to have already been on the crest of that wave. You have to be there when it starts. Or you get buried. If Call of Duty wants to be a Battle Royale game...
Sure.
It needed to be a Battle Royale game 3 years ago.
Fair enough, yeah.
You know?
With the break of, like, underground... PlayerUnknown.
Yeah. Because think about when... When Call of Duty first became big, there were a million of those type of team deathmatch shooters that all failed.
True.
Because everyone was already playing Call of Duty, and they would maybe gain a little bit of traction when they got released, but then they'd die, and no one would think about them. And then, if you go back, World of Warcraft, when World of Warcraft got released, there were a million MMOs. Everyone right. trying to chase it. But the market was already... dominated by one or two games. It was like World of Warcraft and then there was like some other side games that did pretty well. Lord of the Rings Online, right. EVE Online. But the MMOs, like there's so many MMOs that popped up and died within a year in that time frame. When League of Legends and Dota 2 were big, a million MOBAs came out at the same time, and they all failed because everyone who wanted to play a MOBA was already invested in one of the other two MOBAs.
Right.
I think, and I'm going to put this out there, I think that every game that's trying to put a Battle Royale mode in their game is doing themselves a disservice right now, because I don't think that any game is going to take people away from Fortnite and PUBG.
Right.
I think that they already are the Battle Royale games. The Battle Royale faithful will maybe dabble in the other ones and then come back to the ones that they know.
But that's how they weed out the weak. That's how they get all those weaklings out. In the same way that, I mean, even Beloved mentioned from before, Crash Bandicoot, you know, he came out with CTR because at that time, what was the biggest thing was racing games. You had Mario Kart, you had CTR, you got Diddy Kong Racing, you had all these, you know, even Sega All-Star Racings and all these, you know.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's Mario Kart that's still made.
Mario Kart and like some other vague stuff, you know, and people.
So sidebar, there's a new racing game announced. Did I tell you this?
No.
There's a new game. There's a new racing side game announced.
What's the game?
Star Fox Grand Prix.
Star Fox Grand Prix.
So there's races with bosses on the course. It's supposed to be in space.
Shit.
So it's like space racing.
Yeah.
I can see it. I can actually see this as like a good game, and you can like shoot. Like, especially, because think about the Star Fox mechanics where you have that little power meter.
Yeah.
And you can use it to boost, or you can use it to do different things.
Right.
That sounds great. You know, boost past a hard area, boost between asteroids to not get hit.
Yeah,
and slowed down. Get, you know, like, there are little boosty circles that if you went through, you got a big boost of speed. You know, there's, like, robots shooting at you. Make it so that, like, if you get rings, you go faster. Because, like, remember, if you killed certain guys, you got rings.
Right.
You go faster.
Yeah.
Or you can dance, like, if you break the other guy's wings, they go slower. So if if they get ahead of you, you shoot them with your R-wing. That sounds fucking rad,
that
man.
That does sound rad.
That sounds rad.
Kind of like a Road Rash, but of the new age in Nintendo.
Yeah. Oh, and I actually trust the studio doing it. It's Retro Studios.
Retro, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you know Retro?
Yeah.
Yeah, with they did the Metroid Prime series.
They have, yeah.
And more recently, Donkey Kong Country Returns and Tropical Freeze.
Yeah, there you go.
And Tropical Freeze, I've been playing that. That game's great. Yeah. Like, they're a good damn studio.
Still haven't tried out that Uncle Funky mode, huh?
Well, it's an easy mode. I don't know. it seems boring. I feel like it'll be fun for speedrunners.
Right. Uncle Funky mode reminds me of...
It's Funky Kong.
Funky Kong, whatever. I like Uncle Funky better. Because it sounds better. Anyway, so Funky Kong mode or Uncle Funky mode reminds me of...
Me?
Yes. No, of the first Spider-Man video game that came out in respect to the movies. So this is the number one, the first Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
That movie comes
out. With the upside down kiss?
Yes, that one. So that movie comes out, right? And then, there's a subsequent game that comes out in respect to that movie. And then, of course, you play as Peter Parker, and then you can unlock Peter Parker's alternate suit, and then another alternate suit. And eventually you unlock being able to play as the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
As the protagonist, you know, and you can throw your bombs and you can fly in the air and whatever you want. That's what I equated to, is playing as the Green Goblin in that video game. That's what that whole story was alluding to.
By the way, I'm not excited about the PS4 Spider-Man game. I'm just not excited.
Why not?
There are a whole bunch of games where they're just third-person action-y games with okay storylines, and they're gonna give you some big set pieces, but it's not gonna be gameplay. It's gonna be like something crazy is gonna be happening, and it's just gonna be press a button to survive this part of the cutscene over and over again. And then the actual gameplay is gonna be like, oh, this is the area you need to be, so go swing through this empty town, get to them. There's like five dudes just sitting there waiting to be beaten up. You beat them up. And then there's a cutscene where, like, it's just, like, five guys and no other guys. And you beat them up. And all of a sudden, there's going to be a guy who wasn't even there walking with you talking about, like, yeah, you cleared him out, Spider-Man. It's good. I can't. I've done too many of these games where it's just a third-person open world beat 'em up.
You officially have gotten to the point where you are a gamer who lacks imagination, my friend.
Oh no. I just... It's not that I lack imagination. It's that I demand that the people making my games have imagination.
Okay.
Because
this... You feel like it's just been overdone.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is every other third-person game we've ever played.
So that's a good question, then. What do you think this game is going to be like? I haven't seen too much gameplay, but do you think it's just going to be like a staple copy input of the other open-world Spider-Man that we had?
It's going to be Batman Arkham Creed. It's going to be...
Batman Arkham Creed?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's Assassin's Creed, but it's going to be Arkham Knight, but Arkham Knight is Assassin's Creed.
No, you don't...
Because it is Assassin's Creed, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And, like... It's just gonna be that. It's gonna be exactly that, and I have no interest anymore because like Assassin's Creed came out how long ago, to like not actually innovate very much.
They even have a movie on Assassin's Creed. That's how old you can know a video game is that if they have a movie on the game, it's fucking old, man. Like I'm waiting for that like Crash Bandicoot starring Daniel Day-Lewis as Crash Bandicoot game to come out or movie to come out, but I think
did you know that they made a movie based on Super Star Wars for the Super Nintendo? It's called Star Wars.
Well, that's been drunk cast for this week. Now. You know, and I think you made a lot of people's heads explode right now, too. Because you mentioned that, and I didn't even think about that. Batman is essentially just a higher-tech Assassin's Creed.
Yes.
Essentially what it is. It's just you perching on rooftops and dropping down on people, or just combat with multiple enemies and just constant counters.
Yeah. No, but there's just so many games like that I play them and I get so... What I do is I play through, like... It's like what happened to me with Far Cry 5. Far Cry 5 is such like Far Cry 4 and such like Far Cry 3 that I played through probably a third of it and I was just like, okay.
I've played this before.
Yeah, I can guess what I'm going to do the rest of this game. So, moving on with my life.
It would just be more for the story. Like, at that point, if I feel like I've played a game before, like, if I feel like I'm playing a game and it has a new name, but it feels like the same exact game that I played before.
But Wikipedia is free.
But Wikipedia...
I can read the story.
Well, what I'll do is I'll just put it on easy.
Yeah.
I'll just go through it. I'll put in the time and do the story and... You know, at least putting it on easy.
Just sprint yeah. And one-shotting people on the way.
Literally, man. Literally. If I just want to know the story, I'll do that.
The most insulting thing is an easy mode where enemies don't attack you. Have you ever played a game where it had an easy mode and the enemies just kind of strafe around you?
Yeah.
And you you can not press buttons and they'll just kind of strafe around you and maybe once every, like, 2 minutes, they'll punch you with a low-damage attack.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, no. This is...
It's just pure antagonization.
Yeah.
The entire game. They're just throwing little punches at you. Ready for you to try to mess them up.
Oh my god.
But that's what I'll do to just get the story. It depends on the game too. It has to be something that actually has a very good story. You know?
Yeah.
The game that I'm playing, God of War, right now, I refuse to play that on a difficulty less than very hard.
Yeah.
And I mean, I really want the story, but man.
But the gameplay of that game just seems so good. It actually seems...
Oh, it's
so
intricate and so careful.
As much as I was saying, like... See, that's what I want, and that's what I don't see from the Spider-Man trailers, is I want gameplay that I look, and it doesn't feel like I'm playing Assassin's Creed, but with a different way of getting to the same areas.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like... To me, web swinging in that city is the exact same as running across rooftops
in
Venice or wherever in Assassin's Creed.
Right, or wherever it is.
Yeah.
No, I feel it. I'll agree with you there. It's very copy-paste because it's just kind of like, I mean, you find a formula that works and you bounce off of it as much as you can. And that kind of battle formula where you just have like 10 to 15 enemies around you and you're just waiting for the fucking clicky do so that you can press X and change the battle to another person. It's eventually going to get overdone and we're eventually going to see the end of those days. But until then, I mean, that's what works.
To me, this feels like this game. Do you remember when everything had chest high walls? Like every game there was a button that made you like suck to a wall and duck below like all the walls were like chest high and you could
kind of like Gears of War.
Yeah, Gears of War is like the game that like brings chest high walls into existence, and it's just and everything's cover based. To me, it feels it's this style is as played out as that.
Okay,
it's as played out where every game is that, for the most part.
I feel like they'll disappear into their own mist, too. In the same way that games like Halo have disappeared into their own mist.
Yeah. And I'm also... I'm so tired as well of games that have... Like, I've seen good graphics before. And I've seen, like, crazy things happening. I hate it when a game has... Like, let's say there's, like, a 15-minute segment. And, like... You're on a plane that's crashing. And instead of it being like, oh, there are like a certain number of things you have to do, and you're using the normal gameplay stuff, like you have to go over here and shoot this, and then pick this up and bring it over and do all that, it'll just be like, the plane is crashing. And all of and it'll just be like a video, you hold up, and your guy will just crawl towards the door. And then right when you get to the door, it's like, press the right bumper.
Right.
And then... doing that will open the door. And it's essentially a video.
Right.
That you just have to do
interactive video.
Yeah, that you have to do token commands to move forward with. And I guarantee that the game is going to be Assassin's Creed. And like, if it's not this, if it turns out that it has this intricate combat system, this will be the bet. This will be the Gentleman Jack bet.
There you go.
If it turns out that the combat system is anything more than, like...
Assassin's Creed style
combat, like the counter-based combat, the like sneak up and silently kill as many people as you can combat system,
okay,
with big set pieces, like you see in like the old God of War games, where you'd have these bosses that were like massive, but you didn't actually fight them. It's just like you pressed buttons when it told you to press buttons, and then they died.
Okay,
you know if. It'll have something like that where it's like, oh, you take down this helicopter, but it'll just be a series of, like, buttons appearing on screen, and you mash them within 2 seconds.
Okay, I'll take that bet. I will bet 2 shots that it is something different than that.
Okay.
Deal?
Done.
We're shaking on it. You hear that shake? Here, ready? Hold on. That's a shake there.
That's a shake.
You can see it in the... Okay, anyway. Man, now I'm really hoping that they do something very revolutionary.
I know. I mean, I would love to be wrong. I would love to be wrong. Because
take those 2 extra shots of Gentleman Jack.
Yeah, you know, again, like, I didn't have much hope for God of War. God of War turned out great.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You know, it's not like, you know, it's a big Sony kind of funded single player game, which. There's always hope for.
And you know, kind of coming full circle here, you know what God of War kind of reminds me of? At least like the fight style and stuff? Resident Evil 4. It's very over the shoulder, and you know, you turn in the same way, and you know, multiple enemy kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, obviously it's very different because it's still like with that God of War aesthetic.
Can we... We should see if modders, any modders out there, I want you to switch the main characters from God of War and Resident Evil 4. I want to have limited ammo and inventory space and be trying to shoot the fucking like high elves and Alfheim.
You have to put your fucking axe in the perfect spot in your briefcase.
No, you have a pistol. Because Kratos is now going through Resident Evil 4
throwing
his axe around.
Throwing his pistol and it comes back to his hand and shit. That's amazing. A Leviathan pistol. A Leviathan Glock. Okay, so we got about 10 more minutes before our show is over here. And with that 10 minutes, I wanted to open up a new discussion. Pretty soon here, there's three games that are going to be coming out in succession. And they're going to be coming out so close together that they're going to be actually competing for a first spot. I want to see who you think is going to be the most successful. I'm going to bet another shot on this. So there's Battlefield 5. There's Call of Duty, COD Blops 4.
Let's make a specification. Highest sales in a week of being released.
Boom. Okay, done. Call of Duty, COD Blops 4, Battlefield 5, and the granddaddy of them all, which I think is going to take the cake, Red Dead Redemption 2. What do you think is going to be the highest grossing out of those three?
I don't think it can be Battlefield. I think Battlefield... I know it's popular now.
Yeah.
But I still think it's more niche than Call of Duty.
Right. So I'm going to take the Red Dead Redemption side of this. Are you willing to take the Call of Duty side of this?
I actually think it's going to be Call of Duty.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right. That's the bet then. Another one. Ready? Right next to the mic here. Now tell me why you think it's going to be Call of Duty. It doesn't have a story mode. You're missing a third of the game.
Because people suck, and they're going to buy a game without story mode.
You're just going to hope that the thing that's like a watered-down version of what was once successful is successful again?
I actually think I think that it's going to sell a whole bunch in a week. I think it's going to slow down. I wouldn't be surprised. I think that Red Dead Redemption will be the highest-selling overall over its lifespan.
But during the first week... You think all the little
I think
kids...
everyone buys goes out and buy. I think people line up and buy Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Because I think that there are a lot of people who don't follow Reddit and don't follow those things and are going to look and go, I loved Black Ops. You know, like they're going to they're going to be like, the fuck is this? There's no campaign. And they're going to be sad.
And then return it. Okay.
So, I just think that it's... It just has such name recognition.
Right.
It. Yeah. I.
Now, what do you think of Call of... I mean, Red Dead Redemption.
I'm excited about Red Dead Redemption.
Are you going to play that on the PC?
Does it come out day and date?
I don't know.
I don't think it does. I think it comes out on console first.
I think so, too.
I will probably eventually on PC. I love Rockstar's open world games. They do a very good job of creating a story I want to follow and having a world that is similar to what I'm used to without being the same as what I'm used to. And not many people attempt to out-Rockstar Rockstar. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, whereas every game when Gears of War came out was a chest-high wall shooter, and every game after Assassin's Creed came out was an Assassin's Creed game.
Oh, yeah.
Certain games have tried open worlds, but I think that Rockstar is just so good at them.
Well, I see Rockstar as a direct competitor to Bethesda, honestly. Because they both kind of jump around in the same, almost a similar aspect, which is open world kind of relationship building video games that allow you to choose a moral standing for yourself. Like, you have...
It's like a visual novel.
Almost, yeah. And you have Grand Theft Auto and you have Red Dead Redemption, right?
It's competing with a Tofu Boyfriend. Have you ever seen a Tofu Boyfriend?
No.
You don't know what this is?
No.
Oh my god, go buy it right now.
What is it?
So it's a Japanese visual novel.
Oh boy.
And you are a girl. You're the only human who's been accepted to St. Pigeon's Academy. And all the boys that you talk to are pigeons. And you date pigeons.
Are they pigeon humanoid pigeons?
They are pigeons.
They're actual pigeons.
Yes. They are given like a human like picture persona, but when they appear to talk to you, it is like a photograph of a fucking pigeon. So you'll be like they'll be the emo pigeon and you'll talk to them, but and then like this like pigeon will appear and be like, yeah, I know. Life is just so hard sometimes.
How are you comparing this to Grand Theft Auto 5?
It's a relationship builder where you have to make moral decisions.
So anyway, Grand
In your words, that's what it is.
So you do the same thing. Not in this fucked up pigeon game of yours, but in a in Bethesda's world, you know, you have Skyrim and you have Fallout. And Skyrim and Fallout and Red Dead and Grand Theft Auto are so, like, the respectively, they're so close together as far as their gameplay is, but they're so different enough. They're different enough that it still keeps you interested.
And then there's The Witcher, which just...
You mean The Switcher?
Yeah, The Switcher.
I'm proud of that one.
Which is just so good. It's just so good.
My pun or The Witcher?
Both.
yeah, I've heard. I haven't played The Witcher.
You haven't played The Witcher 3?
No.
Go buy The Witcher 3 right this second.
Stop telling me to buy games. Okay? Because last game you told me to buy was literally a game where you go in and you fuck pigeons, Joe.
Hey, you don't fuck them, you date them.
Come on. There has to be a sexual attraction to these pigeons for this relationship to work.
I'm not denying.
Pigeons lay eggs, Joe. Where do you have sex with them?
Bears, beets, Battlestar Galactica.
What is going on here? Question. What is the best kind of bear? Well, that's a dumb question. False. Black bear.
That's debatable.
we're going to end this podcast with a little bit of an office quote.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
All right. Joe, any last word before we sign off here?
Dr. Mundo is fun to play.
Dr. Mundo. I love it.
He goes where he pleases.
Fair enough. And as for me, I'd just like to remind everybody to follow us on Twitter, at DrunkCastGaming.
GameIn.
GameIn, I'm sorry, no G, just GameIn. Facebook at DrunkCastGaming, Instagram at DrunkCastGaming. And then, of course, we're on iTunes and the Night of the Living Geeks Network. Go ahead and give everybody there a listen to after you're done listening to
us. And then listen to us again.
And then listen, yeah, just throw in another like. Add a comment. We'd love to hear people's suggestions. Anybody who makes a suggestion will be featured on the episode the next time. And we'll do our best to...
Add some cement.
You said cement? I'm so happy you said cement. Anyway, other than that... I think that's been DrunkCast for this week. I'm Joel.
I'm Joe.
Take care, guys.
Love you.
Drink responsibly.
XOXO Gossip Girl. Yeah.
This has been a Night of the Living Geeks production. For more information and content, visit NLTLG.com.